It's Monday, June 13th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone here in Texas and ready for a live show, and I hope that those of you that are watching enjoy. Those of you that are checking the show out later, hey, I'm glad you're here anyway. Hey, you can know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the heartland of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast via the podcast link on the website. We've got lots of shows at Geek News Central now. We've got Robot Underpants released every Monday. We have the Gadget Professor every Thursday. Saturday Morning Tech Show, of course, Saturday morning, and of course, two episodes of the Geek News Central podcast released every Tuesday and Friday. This is, of course, being recorded Monday night. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And yes, I am here in the heartland of Texas and dealing with a very temperamental new camera on the computer here on the portable studio. It's definitely not like being home with a TriCaster. But one thing I have done is because I'm getting ready to probably have a lot more travel in the next year, is I'm actually going to start investing in the actual portable studio. And first thing I did was we're going to go to a complete, basically an HDMI system where I'll be feeding all the inputs via HDMI, start out with a real high quality feed, including a good camera. Right now I'm just using a $100 Creative camera for the Roadshow. But going to up the quality here a little bit and work on the production value on the portable rig. Audio stuff is pretty much dialed in. Can't complain about that system. It's been pretty steady and operating, you know, very well for me for a long time. And matter of fact, I'm sitting here and seeing some knobs are twisted one way or the other, so I'm doing some quick adjustments. But anyway, had a great trip out here to Texas. A little bit jet lagged at this point. It's been a pretty long day, but wanted to get a show out for all of you. Got lots of great tech to talk about tonight, so you'll want to hang out here, and we'll get into that here in a few minutes. Hey, I want to give a strong welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here and being part of the family. Of course, we want to welcome new listeners that join the show from around the world every single episode. So if you're new, thanks for checking us out. Make sure you get subscribed. You can do that via the website at geeknewscentral.com. You'll find in the second column of the website links there, RSS feeds, or Zune, or the iTunes subscription area. Go ahead and get subscribed to the show. That way you'll never miss a single episode. We've also got a newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show tonight, stuff that's been submitted by listeners and viewers like you. So we'll have that newsletter pounded out immediately following the show. That way you'll kind of have an idea of what happened during the podcast. Of course, you want to, if you're watching us later, you can watch via the Roku or Boxy. And also, you know, again, if you've just subscribed via iTunes, you can get us that way as well. Hey, lots going on. Pretty busy. It was a whirlwind weekend, getting ready to head out. Got a two-week trip here. Basically, I'll be going back to Honolulu on Friday, graduating on Saturday from college, and then I will be immediately following out Saturday night to Washington, D.C. I'll be out there a week, get back on Saturday, and then basically I take over the household duties for 3 weeks as my wife leaves Sunday morning for Japan. I'm going to go out to see her father, who is not really doing very well. So I wanted to get her out for a long enough period so she could go home. And I guess, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, she didn't know if she wanted to go home. I basically told her she had to because I didn't want her to get in a situation where she'd not been able to go home and talk to him, and while he was still cognizant of the conversation that was taking place. So she's going to go out and spend some time with him. He's been in and out of hospitals back and forth for the past couple of years. But her sister basically told her it's time to come home. So she's going to be there for 3 weeks. And so I'll be taking care of everything at the household. And so, you know, looking forward to letting her get away and see her dad. If, you know, at some point, I'm sure the whole family's going to have to go back. But at about $7,000 or $8,000 to take everyone back to Okinawa, if I was going to take my whole gang back, it's one of those situations where you don't go until you absolutely have to go with that kind of money having to be spent. Other than that, all's good. All's good here. Basically, 103 degrees today here in Central Texas. Crazy, crazy, crazy hot. But and actually, no humidity, which is kind of odd. Usually, humidity's up, but I guess it's early enough that hasn't impacted us that much. Hey, our Saturday morning tech show was great, and we actually were able to show off the Chromebook a little bit. I've actually got it patched, had it patched into the TriCaster, so we're actually do be able to do some screen grabs and walk through that. So if you haven't seen the Chromebook at all, you'll definitely want to watch the Saturday morning tech show. That's available. Watch the video on that, and I get into it when we spend about the first 20 minutes of the show talking about that. So feel free to definitely check out Saturday Morning Tech Show. Hey, one thing, I did get an email back from the folks at GoDaddy, and you guys went bonkers on that .co deal. So much so that they were able to extend the special .co offer through the end of June. But what they've had to do is they had to raise the price a little bit. So now this new offer is going to be for $10.99 by using the promo code GEEK.com. June, that's G-E-E-K, in the month of June, G-U-N-E, you're going to be able to get the .co domain for $10.99, and that's significantly off from what it is normally priced. So, again, and this code is going to go active on Tuesday, June 14th, so if you're watching the show right now and you try to go use it, you're not going to be able to use the code until Tuesday morning when the code goes active. But anyway, geekjune.co domain for $10.99. We're still remaining to run the private domain registrations through the end of June as well. So if you transfer or buy any domain name and you use the code geekfree when you get to the checkout counter and you've already added private registration, you're going to get that $9.99 value for free. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Of course, you can find all of my codes to GoDaddy and all the great savings that we have at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and that'll have all the codes, and you can mix and match and see which one works the best. If you try to combine a current special, if they've got a special going on, and you try to use the code with an advertised special, the code won't work. So it's basically the codes will work on regularly priced items, and generally I can get you a better deal than even what they're advertising on their website. So keep that in mind when you go over to GoDaddy.com. What else have I got going here? I haven't been able to watch the latest edition of Robot Underpants. I was in transit, so I'm going to definitely check that out. There is an audio version of Robot Underpants available now as well. A number of you have asked for it. I think I need to go in and edit his show notes to show you the link to that. So I have the audio RSS feed available now for Robot Underpants for you to subscribe to. Same thing with the Gadget Professor and audio. Link to that is coming as well, an audio RSS feed. So I just need to get them up and get them edited, and they'll be in the actual show notes versus on the webpage, because we're definitely trying to promote those of you that are watching the show via video to do so, especially on those two shorter shows. I know some of you want to do the audio portion of that, and that's why we've got it set up so you now can get the audio versions of those shows from here on out. Just do a little quick last piece of business here for as far as sponsorship stuff goes. I think maybe someone next door is knocking. I hear someone knocking. Well, if I'm talking too loud, he's going to have to wait about 45 minutes or call the hotel security. Hopefully I'm not. I hear this boom, 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 boom coming from next door. So I didn't think I was talking that loud. Let's see here. I thought I had this loaded, and apparently I do not. Let's talk about ADT security for a little bit. You know, ADT has come on as a sponsor here, and they made available a very, very special offer. And really, that offer is pretty unbelievable. You're going to get around $850 worth of free equipment. You're going to be able to get installation at a very reduced price, a $99 installation fee, which is insanely low. You're going to be able to get professional monitoring and really peace of mind that comes with any type of security system. And they've made a special deal for us here, and I hope that you'll take time to take advantage of it and check it out. You'll be able to call the 800 number for the ADT security, and you can do that by dialing. Do I have the number on the web page? Let me look. I do not, and I don't have the doggone script loaded. So I'm trying to load it, but I have got the computer overloaded. If you just click on the ADT banner at geeknewscentral.com, you're going to go ahead and take you right to the web page. You'll be able to learn more about ADT security systems there. Again, we've got this great value for you. And I don't think this thing wanted to load, did it? Let me look where this thing is at. And, oh, yeah, someone says in the chat room, Todd, this doesn't look like your fancy studio. No, it's not the fancy studio at all. I am definitely in a hotel room this week. So that's the part of what's going on here. Anyway, on the ADT, you can call 1-866-778-3127. That's 1-866-778-3127. And again, as you all know, ADT is the number one monitoring service in the country. You're going to get the world-famous ADT yard signs. Monitoring charge is, you know, really real close to about $1 a day. And, you know, many of you probably spend more than that in your snack machine. And really, this is for safety of mind and also basically protecting your family's possessions. And you're going to save up to 20% on your home insurance. I don't know about you, but my home insurance runs about $1,000 a year. And 20% off, that's $200. That is going to get you real close to almost covering the cost of the monthly charge at ADT. So this is something that you should check out. And, of course, this is by just call the folks at Protect Your Home, who is an authorized ADT dealer. The folks at Protect Your Home will definitely help you out and get you going here. So we want to thank ADT for being a new sponsor here at Geek News Central. And that shows me that teaches me for not being completely prepped at the beginning of the show, making sure I have everything open up on the bottom. So let me see here. What else I got here in the stack? Let's go ahead and get into the content here. Make sure you go over to geeknewscentral.com/offers. If you're looking for Ohana wear, go to cafepress.com/Ohana store. And, of course, you can follow me at Twitter at Geek News. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. I want to start off the first article, the first topic tonight. And, it's, you know, when I'm usually with the home studio, I'm able to swap in the screen and show you guys the actual article itself. But you'll have to follow along when you get your email for the show notes. But the Wisconsin legislature is trying to kill Wisconsin Public Internet. And this is a service offered by the University of Wisconsin's Internet Technology Division. It's a crucial provider of net access for this Wisconsin's educational systems. And basically, what they have done is they provide a very low-cost internet for schools and libraries. And this is a great deal for the state of Wisconsin citizens. It basically saves you a lot of money on your taxpayer dollars. But once again, just like the state that we've seen in North Carolina and other states, the public companies have started to really cry about this being unfair and unable to compete with this provider of services to state services. Now, you would think if you are a legislature that is really worried about the budget like they are in Wisconsin. We all heard about all that stuff that was going on about, you know, they were trying to take away union rights and all these other things that were going on in Wisconsin about trying to save money. You would think that the Wisconsin legislature would want to do everything they can to save dollars. But that's not the case here. What they've done through the urging of state telecommunication associations, Republican legislatures have introduced an omnibus bill that would sever WisconsinNet from the University of Wisconsin at Madison's Division of Information Technology and bar it from taking any money from UW. Now, what's happened so far is the UW has gotten about $39 million in funds from Washington, D.C. in order to help expand internet services to schools and libraries and so forth. Several years ago, I went out and spoke to the Las Vegas School District, and they had this beautiful multi-million dollar technology facility. I mean, it was state-of-the-art. It was fantastic. I can imagine the students that they were running through there came out with such great skills, yet when we talked to them about their broadband availability, they had nothing more than really a DSL connection to this modern information technology facility. And I just, you know, I kind of laughed because they had kids in there doing AV. They were doing stuff in new media. They were doing, you know, the whole spectrum of internet technology, media, film, and yet they only had a DSL connection to the school. And I, you know, we talked about this with them, and basically it was a budget issue. They never had enough money to bring in the high-speed internet. And I thought it was just a crime that this was the case. So here you've got these folks in Wisconsin who are already providing a great service at a great price, and they're trying to expand it for schools, and not only the university, but public schools, public libraries. And here you've got the legislature that's trying to protect the cable providers and the internet service providers, trying to basically prop them up in business where it would basically drive cost up for the taxpayers. Just like North Carolina, it really makes you wonder sometimes where people's priorities are. And so if you live in Wisconsin, you need to get on the phone with your legislature and you need to complain to them. They've already received hundreds of letters protesting the proposals. And one of the most nobles comes from a gentleman by the name of David Lambert. He's the CEO of Internet 2, which is a nonprofit ramping up to provide 8.8 terabytes a second of bandwidth to the U.S. Unified Community Anchor Network. The network amounts to around 200,000 community anchor institutions, K through 12 schools, libraries, clinics, hospitals, community college. In the winter of 2010, they received money for broadband stimulus grant from the government to get the project underway. And with this new legislation, the University of Wisconsin may have to give this and some of the money they received back to the feds, or pay it back if they've already spent it. So it's a big battle going on in Wisconsin, which is really sad at this point. You know, it just goes to show that, you know, I where my mom lives, the municipality there is able to provide some pretty amazing bandwidth at some very low cost. And I think it would be devastating if we would ever see, at least where my mom lives, with that basically cut off. Now, she doesn't actually have access to it because you have to be on a cable, but she has a wireless network where she lives in the country. She gets EVDO type speeds, 1.5 to 2 megs down and about 300K up. Now, we've talked about fiber to the home and Fios and how it is, so lucrative and so many of us want it. You know, I can only dream about having fiber. I know it will never come to Honolulu, or to Hawaii, which is sad, unless some private industry puts it in. But the fiber business itself is, you know, not expanding that quick, but we still have, you know, huge amounts of cable going to a huge number of homes throughout the United States. and it appears that the cable business is not going to cede its share of the broadband market by waiting around for coaxial cable to become obsolete. So what's happening here is cable equipment provider Aeris had demonstrated today that it can deliver up to 4.5 gigs, yes, 4.5 gigs per second, by upgrading the existing cable broadband networks. You know, I'm still waiting for DOCSIS 3 in Hawaii. You know, if they're able to deliver 4.5 gigs by upgrading equipment, keeping the existing cable infrastructure in, it'll be 10 years before I see that in Honolulu, because, you know, we're not even going to DOCSIS 3. So, you know, many of you have upgraded and you're getting these higher speeds now, but we're definitely not seeing that where I live. But this new technology could, if it was implemented, would reach about 56% of Americans that are on a cable through their broadband cable provider. So we'll see. We'll see if this ever takes place. But, you know, they're never going to offer 4.5 gig downstream to us. You know, that would, you know, that would impact their bandwidth limitations that they're trying to put upon us. I don't know why. All of a sudden, my nose is running like crazy. So for those of you watching video, I apologize. Scratch my nose here. Comcast is bringing Skype video chat into the living room. So Comcast has partnered with Skype to bring its video chat service to subscriber living rooms. And basically, it's going to make it easy for you guys to take advantage of high-quality video conferencing with friends and family through your HD TV sets and Comcast broadband connection. Don't know what kind of equipment you're going to need. It says subscriber Skype equipment installed can then make and receive video. So basically, you're going to get some hardware to do this. Cameras are going to run between $130 and $170 each, and there are some TVs already that have cameras built into them from Panasonic and Samsung. So this is pretty cool. They're going to build this into the product offering. So, you know, now that Microsoft is going to own Skype, that could prove to be an interesting combination right there. Now, here's a statistic that just absolutely blew me away. Only 50% of iPhones have ever been synced more than once. That is just crazy. 50% of the iPhones brought to the Apple Genius Bar have never been connected to a computer. Maybe this is one of the reasons why Apple is finally making over-the-air syncing available, because they know people are not connecting them to a computer. So that means they don't get upgraded. They don't, all these things that they don't get. And sure, they can download apps and stuff, but boy, oh boy. How many of you have got an iPhone that you've never synced to a computer? How many of you have got one that you've never plugged in? I can't imagine anyone in this audience actually admitting that. This could be a potential, you know, what they're doing with iCloud could be a potential savior for that 50% that's not doing that. Have you got comments on tonight's show? Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, here's, I'm gonna give you some numbers here. I want you guys to listen. I'll give them to you in sets. And then if this is a number that you recognize, we're going to tell you what that is. 8884. 5246, 4753, 3262, 1774, 1425, 1221, 1139, 944, 882. Well, those are the most common lock screen pins. So they did one individual who has a camera security iPhone app was able to monitor the 10 most common passcodes. Now that kind of bothers me just a little bit in itself, but this represents, those numbers represent 15% of all passcode sets. So that is insane. 10 separate, how can that many people have that common? And the most common was 8884, well over 8,000, excuse me. All right, I'm a knucklehead. Let me read through these again. Okay, 1234 000 2580 1111 555 55683 0852 2222 1212 and 1998 were the numbers. Okay, so 1234, that was about 8,800 of you, excuse me, had that as your unlock code. 0000 was 5,000 of you. 2580, 4,700. 1111, 3262. 5555, 1774. So anyway, so those second set of numbers I read you, the 1234, geez, I'm such a knucklehead, were account for 15% of all passcodes. So I guess if you find a phone and it's locked, you can try, you have at least a 15% chance of opening the screen up by using one of those 10 passcodes. So pretty crazy stuff here. How many of you are doing that? My lock code is none of the above. But again, when there's only 9,999 choices, at least make it hard for them, folks, okay? But I just wonder if it's human nature that makes people do like 5555 and 1111. And there's got to be a certain, you know, hitting the keyboard a certain way. I'm sure if you look at it on a phone, it'd probably become pretty evident why people use those specific codes. Well, I feel sorry for the individual that has the domain Twitter, TWITER.com, because Twitter with two T's has filed a complaint with the World Intellectual Property Organization against an alleged cyber squatter who owns the domain TWITER, and they're going after him for trademark infringement, and I'm sure they're going to get their that domain back. I can't imagine them not, but if you visit that page now, it kind of looks almost like some sort of a Twitter page, and it wants you to do a survey with a potential of winning a MacBook Air, Apple iPhone 4, or the iPad 2. I'm really sure this works. I'm sure that is a very legitimate survey, and I bet you have a real big chance of winning something. You're probably going to end up on a big spammer list. But the folks at Twitter are trying to recover that domain. So make sure you don't forget to put the two T's in when typing in the domain name. How many of you use Instagram? Be honest with you, I have not loaded this app, but apparently 5 million people have used this app or have it loaded on their iPhones, and people are kind of surprised that many people are actually using Instagram, and so 5 million users is a pretty significant number here, and they're adding about 100,000 new users a week. And they say in this article over TechCrunch, they say even more amazing, there are now 1.25 million users for every one employee of Instagram. So it's a very small company, obviously 4 people at the company, and this is huge. They're going to probably get sucked up and bought by someone here very quick, but definitely being very successful using the Instagram app. Have you used it? Love to hear your feedback on it as well. Check this out. Anonymous, boy, oh boy, the hits just keep coming after they threatened to told NATO to back off. The Anonymous hacker group has demanded Federal Reserve Chairman to resign or else. Anonymous says that on June 14th, it will start its action called Operation Empire State Rebellion. The operation will commence on June 14th. And the group accuses the Federal Reserve of throwing tens of millions of people into poverty and accuses it of crimes against humanity. So I wonder what they have on them. I wonder if, you know, I'm sure maybe this is the way we're going to get the Federal Reserve audited. You know, many people have been calling for the Federal Reserve to be audited for years. So maybe the folks at Anonymous will be able to collect enough information on the organization where we'll get a public auditing one way or the other. And maybe not by their own their own want, but by Anonymous's hacking attack. We will see where that they're getting pretty big for their britches and making a lot of public enemies, that's for sure. All right, YouTube is suspending and terminating accounts. And basically, this is an article over on Paul Colligan's website at paulcolligan.com. He says this weekend, pro blogger got a lot of attention for having his YouTube account suspended with no warning or explanation why. Now, story has a happy ending as the site came back about 12 hours after he posted the above article. Scary nonetheless, but apparently he had posted a video that was entitled Secrets of Making Money Online. Along with that, some other sites were taken down over the weekend. Another one was How to Make Money Online, the 80-20 Rule. So what Google is doing is they're going after these most of these scam artists who are trying to probably sell you programs and so forth that tells you, basically, hey, this is how you can make money real quick, right? And usually all those programs come with, with the big letters SCAM attached to them. But YouTube has a couple of pages about content and what you can and cannot put online in their terms of service and community guidelines. But it appears that there was nothing specifically said about this, but Google is definitely taking a heavy hand to different types of sites or different types of accounts that are putting up this type of material. I can understand why, because usually if I saw that title on a YouTube video, I would probably just completely ignore it. I would never play it. Being that I fly a lot, I thought this article over at Gizmodo was pretty cool. It's entitled Cosmic Rays. Use this calculator to check out how much radiation you're hit with every single time you fly. And the FAA has a nifty little galactic radiation calculator. And you plug in your approximate flight dates, origin, destination, airport, cruising altitude, and flight time. And it'll spit out the amount of space radiation you're hit with while reading or flying your favorite airlines. They did an example. For example, a trip from D.C. to L.A. would rack up 27.05 microsieverts, about 27 times the amount you're zapped with when you get a bone x-ray. So if you're a frequent flyer, say a dozen flights a year, you could end up with a quarter of your normal ground exposure just from being in the air. Well, that's me. I do, 40 or 50 segments a year. Nothing we can do about this. We're just a little bit higher up there and a little less protection. So we get zapped a little bit harder. I make sure I stretch out as far as I can. So I guess I get the full Monty. Next thing you're going to see is people selling stuff for, lead type of stuff you can wear on an airplane if you can get it through security. Pretty cool video out that shows where the Great Pyramid's hidden chambers of secrets are located. 3D software was used to create a virtual 3D map of the Great Pyramid. So if you remember here a couple of weeks ago, a robot discovered mysterious markings in a room, which turned out they figured out what they were. But you'll see in the video the chamber's location. The chamber's located at the end of a 63-meter-long, tight passageway going up from the Queen's Chamber. But pretty cool stuff. And this was an article that was over at NewScientist.com. Have a link up in the show notes on that. Now, you have to give the Libyan rebels, who are basically battling the Libyan, the remaining Libyan government. But you talk about MacGyver type of stuff. The Libyan rebels have welded a tank turret to a truck. And what's amazing is the truck doesn't flip over when they fire the tank turret. It actually works. So they MacGyvered them together a turret to shoot shells from a truck. I would not want to be sitting in a driver's seat when this thing goes off, but it's beautiful. You can definitely see the weld marks, and a little bit of engineering went into this. It just amazes me when they fire this tank turret's gun that the vehicle doesn't flip over. But pretty cool stuff. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check it out. There's a lot of attention right now being put upon Apple and its employees, and specifically the upper level employees that work the Genius Bar. I was pretty shocked to find out that the Genius Bar employees at Apple stores only make $14 an hour. I guess that's pretty good for retail, but these guys are doing a little bit more than your standard retail work. But there's a move afoot to try to unionize Apple employees at Apple stores. You know, they're figuring, hey, we're doing this great job. We're providing great sales for Apple. Maybe it's time that we get taken a little more seriously. And they're looking to start to unionizing. And I think this is pretty surprising. I don't think this is something that's been done within the retail space. Maybe it has, and maybe I just don't know about it, not enough about retail. But so anyway, that is kind of something that's afoot for Apple stores and a potential issue that Apple have to deal with here soon. There apparently has been a lot of advancement recently in medical algorithms, and here's one. They've come up with a new way to detect cardiac arrest 24 hours before it happens, and they got to get this type of technology into a cell phone. But a company called Predictive Medical Technologies developed a system that can mine the medical data of a patient, lab reports, monitors, nurses' notes, and predict whether that patient will suffer from cardiac arrest or respiratory failure within 24 hours. They go on to say it's a system that is can be integrated in hospitals that are at certain technology levels without any new hardware, sampling, or extra time. They say the technology level is rare, though, with only 100 U.S. hospitals properly equipped. So they don't give away their secret sauce, but basically they say the model has been tested and proven, looking at old data and determining outcomes, but they said it can be used to predict cardiac arrest and respiratory failure. I'm sure there's a lot of things that could predict buyer behaviors, and what we put in our mouths and what kind of exercise we do or don't get and all these other things could come up and build risk factors, but I guess this is the first time I've ever seen anything that will predict whether or not you're going to die when you're actually in the hospital. But this is something that they have come up with, and this was an article over on Forbes at Forbes.com, so I have a link up to that in the show notes. So pretty cool stuff. And if they, you know, we get to the point where, you know, they can predict someone's cardiac arrest a couple weeks out, you just, you know, check yourself in the hospital the day before. I know it's never going to get that good. Here's some stuff going on with the FBI. The new FBI operation manual increases surveillance. The New York Times is reporting that a new FBI operations manual suggests a broad increase in surveillance. Denoted the Domestic Investigations and Operation Guides, the manual officially lowers the bar of really what they're considering acceptability when it comes to engaging in surveillance actions, and including allowing agents to perform surveillance on people who are not suspected terrorists without opening an inquiry or officially recording their actions. The new rules also relax things on an administration, on new rules on administering lie detector tests, searching through a person's trash, and the use of teams to follow targeted individuals. But it says there is a subnote, it should be noted these guidelines still fall within the general limits put in place by the Attorney General. But the FBI has essentially said, you can, you know, we're going to make it easier for you to follow and surveil people for whatever reason. They don't even have to be terrorists. They just, you know, for whatever reason they so deem, I guess. Once again, these folks that have been suggesting or actually submitting these ridiculous lawsuits and so forth are getting a lot more attention from judges these days. A spammer has basically been rebuked by an appeals judge. This isn't on the accused court ruling, but during the actual presentation, a judge said during an opening statement, he interrupted the lawyer, said, "I have never seen such an incompetent presentation of damages case. It's not only incompetent, it's grotesque. You've got damages jumping around from $11 million to $130 million to $122 million to $33 million. In fact, the damages are probably zero." So this guy, this lawyer is not, I mean, this judge is not happy, even though the folks had been initially awarded $27,000 in damages from the folks at SpamHaus, which is a British anti-spam nonprofit, which has done pretty good things over the years. SpamHaus is obviously they're not going to pay. They're outside of the arm of the United States, being there in Britain. But this has went to an appeals court, and they've got someone working this for them pro bono in Chicago. But it just goes to show you that judges that finally at some point are getting a little irate in some of these ridiculous lawsuits that have been filed. All right, remember we talked about that potential biostation Alpha that was on Mars? Well, NASA has came back and said it was an artifact. It was, don't worry, this was not, we don't have people on Mars watching us or anything like that. And we know that this is a conspiracy theory of the week. And what it is there was some sort of linear streak artifact caused by a cosmic ray hitting the Mars Express spacecraft. And they go on and show some other images taken of the exact same spot at some later dates or earlier dates that show nothing else at the location. Oh, I'm sure this is landed. That's why they didn't show up in those earlier shots. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, the Opportunity rover is headed for Spirit Point to honor the dead Martian sisters rover, and basically the science team is fast approaching their new location, and but the Opportunity rover is going to be arriving at their new destination, which they have named in honor of the death of Spirit. And so anyway, pretty cool that they've done this, and a nice way for NASA to keep the press up. But they've got some great articles or great images here that I've not seen from some of Spirit's last images that they took before it died. But Opportunity continues to be on the roll there. A little bit of news on a little more science news here. It's specifically about a meteorite that exploded over a lake called Tagish, and where they were able to collect up in British Columbia, Canada. And they were able to collect this debris because the meteorite exploded over the lake. Of course, the lake was frozen. They were able to get to it and preserve the meteorites. And for a long time, scientists have been trying to get samples of meteorites that have not been contaminated per se. And they were able to get a lot of cool science out of these specific meteorite segments because they were to collect a number of them. And they come up with some pretty good science information on quantity of minerals, density, and all that stuff. So I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. But no organic material that they can see. So nothing too surprising in this one. BitTorrent.com and Archive.org. This is important for any of you that are content creators that are putting your media over at Archive.org. They have been blacklisted as pirate sites by major advertisers. Group M, one of the world's leading advertising companies, has compiled a blacklist of more than 2,000 URLs in an attempt to prevent its clients' ads from appearing on pirate websites. The blacklist includes many of the usual suspects, but this is the first time a legitimate website, including Archive.org and BitTorrent Incorporated's own site, has been blocked. This is pretty sad because Archive.org has served a great purpose in archiving as much as they could of the internet, and this is it's just too bad that they've done this, and there's been no explanation out yet. Maybe they'll reverse course on this, but I feel Archive.org is, at this point, a pirate site, so this could bode not well for those of you using Archive.org for your podcast. There's a new plugin for those of you that have been worried about what ICE has been doing in seizing domains. Early this year, we know that Google launched a piracy blacklist and began filtering keywords from its instant and autocomplete services. And this was a necessary measure to counter online copyright infringement, according to the search giant. They also had blacklisted and helped with some of the ICE stuff, I guess, to partially undo Google's censorship efforts. A group called the Mafia Fire Team has now released the GNU No Evil Firefox add-on. And basically what this add-on will do will allow you to go to any of those websites that have been seized by Homeland Security, redirects you to their new location, and it also undoes some of the blocks that Google did on their autocomplete in the Google, actually, autocomplete interface. Turkish authorities have claimed the arrest of 32 anonymous hackers. So, Spain recently arrested a bunch of folks that were being accused of being part of Anonymous, and now Turkish police have rounded up 32 more people. And So this brings the grand total to 35 because Spain picked up 3. And we'll see where this goes. But 32 people picked up in Turkey, supposedly part of the anonymous group. You know, artificial hearts have come a long ways, and there's a new one in work. You know, some people, I think ex-Vice President Dick Cheney has an artificial heart, and generally, lifespan is not super long with anyone on an artificial heart. But some new this technology is advancing day by day, and two doctors, Dr. Billy Kahn and Dr. Bud Frazier at the Texas Heart Institute, said they developed a machine that could avoid all of these high failures of these artificial hearts. What they've done is they're two separate pumps that basically they operate independently, and they use a rotor to spin one way. It's not like they're switching to, you know, to do what the heart does, but they're using two separate motors and pumps hooked up to your heart in order to pump the blood both ways. And they did an initial human trial on a guy that had a disease that was not only affecting his heart but other organs, and he lived about 30 days longer than what he would have. He had a disease that, what was the name of it, called, oh, I can't even pronounce this, amyloidosis, boy, destroyed it here, which causes a buildup of abnormal proteins. The proteins clog the organs so much that they stop working. And when he had about 12 hours of, basically what the doctor said, he was, you know, he only had about 12 hours left. They did this transplant. He lived for about 30 days, but the disease attacked his other organs and killed him. It wasn't from the machine failure, but this ventricle assist device has a screw-like rotor of blades that pushes the blood forward in a continuous flow. So essentially what you have now is no more pulse. You have no more heartbeat. And so, you know, if you were hooked up to a monitoring machine, you'd look like you were dead even though you're moving. And he says they feel the next 5 to 10 years they're going to get much further down the road in this, you know, this development of these devices, that people should be able to live a much longer life with artificial hearts. So interesting to see where this goes over the next 5 to 10 years. With all the baby boomers out there, a lot of people are going to probably need them, you know. You want an app on your Apple TV? Well, Apple delivered with the AirPlay mirroring in iOS 5. You're going to be able to mirror what you see on your iPad onto the Apple TV. There's a little bit of a lag, but at least you can see it. I'd much rather not have to use two devices to do one thing. But the only hope is at some point they allow us to put apps on the Apple TV. But those that have had a chance to play with the AirPlay mirroring, they say it works as advertised. Once you select Apple TV as an output source in the multitasking menu bar, everything you do on your iPad is transmitted to your Apple TV connected display. And they say even in the early beta, it works really, really well. Hey, the FCC has produced a document. This is not light reading at all. 470 pages entitled The Information Needs of Communities, the Changing Media Landscape, and a Broadband Age. And here's something that is interesting. They were basically looking at the changes in the media industry across all sectors, including newspapers, magazines, and television. And people were afraid when the report was first announced that the regulators were considering subsidies to help prop up the folks in the traditional media industry. And actually, the report did the opposite thing, said, hey, you guys need to fix your business model. You need to innovate and go digital or do whatever you need to do to compete. We're not going to recommend subsidies to help prop you up, to help your businesses survive. Well, the government's into propping up companies, and I wouldn't be surprised if they would do this at some point in the future. But they go into the loss of accountability in journalism. I think we all, you know, I think every channel you turn to, they have their own political genre that they want to play out. So I don't think there's any effective journalism anymore when it comes to, you know, reporting the facts and not being so opinionated across all the networks. But they talk about alternative models of business like Politico and some other sites that are out there that are doing well. And they say that the media companies need to adapt to the new shape of the industry and try to learn from alternative models in business. And probably the biggest move it recommends is that the government shift some of its $1 billion it spends on advertising its own services to smaller and or alternative news sources as a way of helping media outlets on the revenue side, which is kind of interesting. I mean, in other words, moving it into digital. That's kind of cool. Goes along with another article we're going to talk about here in a few moments about some changes. Oh, right here it is. This is huge. This is really huge. Two executives from Media Agency Initiative said TV ads will increasingly become performance-based, moving the industry beyond just trying to amass huge audiences. They could throw a huge monkey wrench into the way brands and agencies think about media buying and could be disruptive to the Nielsen rating systems. I'm just like, I want to stand up and shout hallelujah because we've talked about performance-based stuff for a long time. We've talked about it's not always about the biggest audiences. The first thing a media buyer says to us is, what's your biggest shows? Who are your biggest? Who has the biggest reach? They are so focused on reaching millions that they often overlook these real targeted, tight communities of followers that are exactly targeted for their product, which would bring great performance on size and cost a lot less money. But this is huge. What was discussed in the current state of video advertising, how agency thinks of the mix of TV and online videos will change in the future. And he says that TV ads need to be rethought. You know, they're just throwing money at the TV networks and just playing ads wherever and whenever is not going to be effective anymore in reaching the demographic that's from 18 to 49 years of age right now. And we've been preaching to the choir on this for the past since 2004. Is it's really more about behavior and intent, and whether the viewer, regardless of age, sex, and marital status, is interested in buying a car, buying a product. You know, digital ads provide advanced tracking and measurement. You know, that's been we've well proven that at this point. This is beautiful. This is great, great news for my company. This can't happen fast enough. It really can't. And when companies and when we see these types of reports and these types of announcements, you're going to see media companies focusing more on talent and the audiences and the content instead of, okay, does he have a million viewers or a million subscribers or whatever it may be? Very, very frustrating when I have to talk to a media buyer and they're trying to buy a million downloads. You say, okay, I'm going to spread this over 50 shows. They're like, well, what do you mean? You know, I want this on one show. And none of these audiences that are in new media are reaching a million at a shot. You know, you have to spread it out wide, but you can be very targeted. And so this is good news. And I agree. Bad news for Nielsen. They have to change their model, and I hope they change it to more be more effective on what we're our type of media. Xbox, boy, oh boy, you know, you guys, we've been having Rob Greenlee from Zoom.net on our Saturday morning tech show, and I tell you, there's some, you know, Rob isn't saying too much. I kind of push him a little bit when it comes to strategies and stuff, you know, but it's very obvious what we're going to see happen with the Xbox 360 and media offerings. You're going to see more of our type of media, I think, making it into the Xbox and more live offerings. It's pretty exciting, and they're starting to release SDK stuff now to their primary partners, and at some time they're going to go to a secondary market like ours. So I can't wait. They are definitely looking to expand the media offerings on the Xbox. It's, you know, it's a huge ecosystem for them. I think it's, you know, basically who can bring revenue to Microsoft is going to help as well. But this is, you know, it's big, and big what Xbox is being, what Microsoft is doing with Xbox because of the installed base of Xbox machines. I was talking with Rob. My son is, at this point, he is more focused on playing the Xbox than he was on the Wii. Of course, he's got an older model PlayStation that hardly ever gets used. My daughter uses that more than he does. But it's pretty obvious. I'm, you know, just watching the trends that they're doing. His streaming site has sued U.S. government over seized domains. Spanish web startup Puerto 80 has sued the U.S. government, the Department of Homeland Security, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement to get two domains back from ICE that they seized in January. Puerto 80 was used to run the popular web forum RojaDirecta.org and RojaDirecta.com, which are used to exchange links for live streaming streams of U.S. sporting events. And they've sued the government to get those back. And they had already successfully defended themselves in the Spanish courts. Now they're going to come to the United States and try to get their domains back. A lot of people are worried what's going to happen with the cloud and security. You know, upload one file, they cache that. They're going to have to do some sort of virus checking and make sure that as they distribute that stuff back down the cloud, people aren't getting someone else's infected file. So they're saying Apple's standard procedures is not going to work with security. They're going to have to become more intent on making sure the material that is in the cloud is not infected in any way, and I have to agree. Have you used Google Docs? Did you know there was, they have templates for Google Docs? I didn't know that there was a template gallery, but there is. So if you're not aware of that, I got a link. I have a link in the show notes for that for you to check out. Also, I got a new reader for you to check out, Mixtab. Mixtab is a new basically, it's a visualized RSS reader. Pretty cool. I was reading an article over on makeuseof.com. I'll be downloading it and checking it out myself, giving you more information. But I think once you see it, you'll agree it's a nice visual RSS feed. Also, I'm always looking for stuff to help you in your negotiations and saving money on anything that you buy. Lifehacker has a good article on how to be prepared when you go to buy a car and what to say and how to deal with car salesmen. So this is a pretty good write-up on that. Those of you that are in the U.S. that want to get access to Canadian TV, there's a good Canadian TV streaming guide available. And there's this comprehensive list is available over at daleisphere.com. I have a link up in the show notes for you on that. But it's a complete list of Canadian programming that is available as a live audio or video stream. So I don't know how long this guide's going to be up, so you definitely want to get over there and get access to it as early as you can. Those of you that live in certain areas in California, if SonicNet is coming to your neighborhood, pay attention. They're giving 1 gigabit per second fiber to home for $70 a month. Select areas. Also, if you have a jailbroke iPad, you can now turn your iPad 3G into a phone. There's a new new app out there called Phone It iPad, available via Cydia. So in other words, you can do a video or audio calls via this application. So you basically can, again, turn your iPad into a phone. I don't know if I'd want to do that or not. Kind of weird. Hey, Boxy users, hey, those of you that are on PC, Mac, or Ubuntu, you're going to be getting a fall, going to update to Boxy later this fall. They're promising that. So don't know, have an exact date on this, but they are going to be doing an update to the software on those of you that are on operating systems. Hey, researchers have come up with a shield to implant hacker to shield implants, in other words, shield pacemakers and so forth from hackers with a wireless charm of protection. This is kind of cool. It's a little wireless charm that you wear that has some sort of an active device that basically is an authentication code that goes back and forth between your charm and your device and prevents people from basically hacking your pacemaker, and ways for medical service personnel to override it so they can get access to it when they need to. But it's a new system developed jointly by MIT and the University of Massachusetts, and this is a pretty sophisticated solution. So this is good. This is good news on that. We've talked about this before. It wouldn't be the first time someone's defibrillator was hacked and basically someone died from someone's device getting hacked. If you haven't got a Roku and you don't have a Best Buy in your neighborhood, Walmart is now going to be carrying the Roku box. So Roku has confirmed that it's struck a retail partnership to sell its broadband set-top boxes in Walmart. And The deal comes without help of Netgear, so that's interesting and very good. You're going to be able to buy the Roku XD on sale for $78, a few bucks less than most retail outlets where it normally sells for $80. So Roku will be available in Walmart. Awesome. Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 takes a flight with American Airlines. So if you're flying on American Airlines, you're in first class, you may be handed a Samsung Galaxy tablet to be your new infotainment system while you're flying. Over at the webdesignerdepot.com, great article over there, folks. Really good one on what's new for web designers. There's a lot of stuff here that are not even, for those of you that aren't web designers, you're going to want to check out. This is probably one of the best articles of the show tonight. You'll definitely want to check this article out from web. It just goes on and on and on of new cool stuff. So especially if you're a designer, you'll want to check this out. But irregardless, lots of cool little tools here to use. And I actually found an app that I really have already fallen in love with, and it's basically a ratio calculator for graphics. If you are downloading add-ons for Angry Birds on Android, be very, very careful. Some malware has been found in Angry Bird add-on apps. So Google's removed at least 10 of them already, which contain malicious code disguised as add-ons. Each of the removed apps posed as a cheat or an add-on to the Angry Birds. And so they were sending a bunch of information to home that you don't want really to go in someone else's private hands. So I have the link up in the show notes on that. Alcatel and Lucent have teamed up to take the TV everywhere. And I told you, the cable providers are not going to go home without a fight. And so Alcatel-Lucent is basically working together to bring IPTV services and more types of stuff that you would find on the Roku and Boxy, so forth, to your channel guide. So we'll see where this goes. But again, the battle is on in a big, big way. All right, that kind of wraps me up for tonight's show. I do have an email or two. And let me go ahead and load the email comments. And let's see here, waiting for this to load. And I probably should have loaded this before the show. While this thing is loading, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. The voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and you can find this show over at geeknewscentral.com. Got an email here from Thomas. He says, "Hey, greetings, Todd. I didn't expect to win. I like near future speculation. When I heard your call for speculation, I knew I had to put in my 2 cents worth. A Roku or Apple TV, which should I want? Will it work in Canada? I don't have anything Apple, whatever you recommend." So I'm wondering, has anyone got a Roku in Canada? An Apple TV would be safe. He says, "P.S. Hardly anyone can pronounce my name on the first try. Try Krazar." Okay, Krazar. Thomas Krazar. Boy, oh boy. Absolutely. And he's up in Canada, so in Alberta. So we'll be able to get that up to him. Should be no issue shipping up there. Let's see here. What else have I got in these? Do I have anything else in emails? Let me look at the date on that. Yeah. Got an email here from Brown. Say, "Hey, Todd, how are you doing? Great show. I've been listening for about 2 years now, originally searching for all things Android, but really enjoy your show. Anyway, maybe it's just me, but I can't find your application in Android market. I've looked under GNC." Again, it's under the Blueberry app is where we're at. And we talked about the iPhone app as well. So hopefully we're going to make some forward movement on that as well. Got an email here is also asking me about game reviews. This came from Divage. He said, "Hey, Todd, I hear one of your podcasts you did a couple weeks ago. I have a suggestion about a show that you could start, game reviews. Like I had mentioned in my email I sent several weeks or so ago, I'm a gamer and follow a lot of game and play a lot. I have a blog where I just write a little about the games I play and love. I haven't been doing that for a while, but I am starting up again. Let me know what you think." Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think we need a game show at GNC? I don't know. What do you think? We very rarely cover gaming stuff at Geek News Central, but it's an idea. I'd love to hear the audience's feedback. Again, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. 5. Hey, Podcast Pickle, if you're still watching, I'm down the Austin area, so not up in your area around Dallas. Let me look at my... We've got some... I was just watching, looking at the chat that was on Ustream. Well, that's about it, folks. Hey, we're out of here early, and I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. And I'm going to be on the move. So Thursday's show is probably going to come later. I would imagine 9, maybe even 10 Central. It all depends on when I get into the new hotel and get set up. Thursday show is going to be a little bit flex, but there will be a Thursday show. Don't foresee anything changing. But I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And again, look forward to next 4 shows are going to be on the road. This is one of the 4. I do plan on having a Saturday morning tech show. I think I'm going to be able to get that out. It'll be held to probably just about an hour because got to leave the house at 8:30. To make graduation practice, and then the actual graduation's at bright and early 10 a.m. Honolulu time, and then I do a quick turnaround and jump on an airplane and head for Washington, D.C. So anyway, that's it. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. It's been great. The room is getting warm. I shut the AC off. Again, 100-and-some degrees here in Texas this week, and didn't take too long for the temperature to come up in the room, about 15 degrees. But until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you then. Aloha.